Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a 60-degree night here in New York. I can't believe it's 60 degrees and it's December 10th.
Whoa.
But, yeah. And I'm joined here by Mark. Mark?
Mark Wolf, also in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Same temperature.
Same temperature. It be warm here in New York. And Heather will be joining us shortly as she flies in from her teaching tonight.
Yes.
Yeah,
she'd be cooler where she is. But.
It's a bit cooler. She's got the cold stuff. We're here with the warm stuff. Although, I have to say, it was very weird this weekend with all the rain. So anyway, what we do here at Access Astrology is we talk a little bit about the stuff going on in the sky, and we take calls from listeners. And this week we had an email from someone, so we're going to answer the email as well. So if you feel free to write us if you can't call during the show. We've got a person who can't call and he listens to the podcast. So he sent in a question. So you can do that too. So you're not alone out there with your unanswered astrological questions. So, Mark, what do you – I think Heather just rang in. Is the bell – and Clarabelle rang.
Yes, Robin speaking from a very snowy St. Paul, Minnesota.
Snowy, huh? Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, it's 9 degrees, and we got 13 inches of snow last night.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Congratulations.
It's lovely. Yes, it's we've been very low on moisture, and so that's it's a wonderful thing.
We like low in moisture snow. It's easier to shovel. It's always much lighter when it doesn't have moisture in it. Spoken after many years in Rochester where you had to shovel heavy weighted snow.
It's very light snow, actually.
Light stuff. So we just got started and we were talking about the exciting aspects that are coming in the week ahead. So what did you notice? Either one of you, Mark or Heather, which one?
You noticed the great joy I felt today as Mercury got out of Scorpio and went into Sagittarius.
Yes, thank heavens.
Is really, you know, it's been there long enough.
It's
been back and forth and back and forth. Normally it's only 3 weeks in a sign, but, you know, with a little blip out, it's been in Sagittarius, it's Scorpio for the last 6 weeks. And I just found so many people, including myself, who had this heaviness that they just couldn't, if negotiations are stuck, labor relations were stuck, people's just felt like they weren't getting anywhere. You know, it's great to concentrate when you had something that you were doing,
mm-hmm.
but if things went wrong or you're trying to negotiate something or navigate something in the world, feel like you had options, that Mercury in Scorpio was really weighing on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it shift, and I heard from several people that were in some tough places that their mood had lightened and possibilities had arisen today that had not been there before.
Right.
So we'll see what this does to the budget negotiations for the government.
Yeah, it should help with the fiscal cliff, so to speak.
It should.
It should help everybody get off the dime and start doing it. And I have to say, I found that I don't normally find Mercury retrogrades particularly bad, but this one took out my cell phone on the way in, and it took out my house phone and my computer connection on the way out. So I was, computerless, I guess, because AT&T cut a cable in the street. You know, it was kind of like, all right, goodbye.
Wow.
But you realize how dependent you are, you know, because I was like, okay, I can't do Skype readings. I can't get my email. I was like, okay, how do I get stuff? You know, I finally resorted to my new cell phone, which got me into my internet, which got me to be able to say to people, call me on my cell phone. So it was very bizarre.
It is. It's amazing how fast everything can go down once in this modern technology.
I know. You realize how dependent you are on it. So, and I was having, like, my mailman got mad. My mailman's been a little badly behaved lately. And I don't want to be mean to him because, you know, he's my mailman and I like my mail. But he was like, he's been yelling at me, and I'm like, shit, man, you know, the mailman, really, you know? All right, whatever.
I mean, everybody's been
crabby.
So irritable.
Yeah. Irritable.
And on edging. You know, on a good day when we're focusing, it's great. But on a, you know, when it goes, it goes.
Yep.
And next Friday, Venus goes into Sagittarius.
Thank God!
And right now, she's still in Scorpio.
She's not in Scorpio.
I think that'll bring it up a notch. Even more.
Yeah.
I'm
party time.
Party time, Sag.
Party time, exactly. It's been really hard to get kind of festive with all these planets in Scorpio, but I can feel it shift today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scorpio's not festive. Scorpio's somber, you know.
And Mars and Capricorn will keep us on track to getting our work done.
Right, and virtually all the planets in the heavens answer to the Mars and Cap. They're all kind of dispositing back to him, so that's good. He's like really solid, and he came in from out of bounds, so he's not so crazy anymore either.
Yeah.
That'll make Santa's job really easy on Christmas Eve. Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Mars and Capricorn.
The elves will be at peak efficiency.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everything will just go.
Those construction projects at 2 in the morning after a few cocktails will actually be constructed.
I think it might be some funny notes, because one of the things that happens when Mercury goes into Sagittarius and Venus is we tend to speak our truths more freely and more comfortably.
Right.
Which can be, and with less of a charge than we did when Mercury's in Scorpio, when it's sort of rooted and stuck, and then when it came out, it can come out with too much intensity sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But now we just kind of can talk about it. And
yeah, it's kind of why would you say otherwise, you know?
Right. You know, this is just how it is. Which can mean also that relatives can get really rude over Christmas, which is like, oh, your hair looks terrible, and haven't you gained weight? And just that wonderful, you know, what Sagittarius can do in family reunions. So it's, again, with that Sagittarius, we say, which can lower our impulse control. You know, it's great, but before you do it or think it, just, is it kind? Is it, not only is it true, but is it kind and necessary?
Right.
And not only, you know, does it seem like a good idea at the time, but is the probability high that you won't break your leg when you go skiing down the road? You know? So just kind of keep an eye on, you know, we have to keep that common sense in there.
Yeah.
But with this enthusiasm, building energy, and the Mars in Capricorn giving us the stick-to-itiveness to deal with it, we can get a lot done. I think we're going to really see a shift in energy fields around us.
Yeah, people really rocking and rolling. It is. I mean, I think you can feel it already. It's great.
Uranus. Yeah.
It's like, thank you, you're finally moving. You can almost hear the heavenly song bursting out because, thank heavens, you're moving. Yeah, no, I must say I'm very happy with the shift. We also have this week a Uranus station, excitement, bringing us back to March of 2012, mid-March, when Uranus entered his shadow, which is where he stopped today. And then it also harkens back to July, when he stopped going forward and he started going backwards. So when we have the Uranus stop in the sky, what he does is he brings forward evolutionary impulse. And Mark and I had talked last week about how Pluto's winning. Remember that part, Mark? You want to talk about that? That was really brilliant. The Saturn-Pluto and how they were winning now, and now with Mercury shifting, with Uranus shifting, the balance of power is going to shift.
Yeah, we'll start to see a change. We have a mutual reception between Saturn and Pluto, so it makes them very strong allies, and they can each sort of look in from the other one's spot, and you know, so they're really quite happy working together, and they're in sextile. So you have that team of Pluto and Saturn, which is you know, power and authority working together, and then Uranus is the rebel. So the rebel has sort of been at a disadvantage and will be for a while. But now as Uranus, the rebel, stops and turns around to go direct again, he starts to pick up his power and look ahead and begin to formulate a new vision for how to be rebellious.
And how to do the rebellion positively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of come up, because he's been kind of on the losing end of the rebellion. So now it'll be like, okay, let's figure out how we're doing that, you know. So it was like Ann Coulter the other day on Sean Hannity going, Sean, we lost the election, you know. And he's going, da 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 da. It's like, you're right, you guys did lose the election. Like, go away already, you know, go do something else.
Right, and it's such a miracle that she, of all people, would say that.
I know. She's like, Sean, we lost. We have to cooperate. I was laughing. I'm like, wow, Ann Coulter? Who knew? So, yeah.
Right.
That's Uranus going direct, you know, like, wow. I mean, she's very Uranian, I think, but nonetheless. But, yes, Uranus stationing. So the story from last March, when Uranus entered his shadow, so there was a relationship story, or there was a chaos story, or there was an evolution in a relationship in your life, and now Uranus is stationing to go direct again and resume that story because it kind of paused and stopped moving forward in July. So I had a couple people write and say, oh, my God, that, I'm like, yep, that's the story. So, you know, just you've evolved, though. You're not back where you were last March. You've had a whole 9 months of evolutionary thinking and figuring out new cool stuff about what you want to do with your life. So you're not the same person, even if the same story is back. You've evolved. And that's the whole idea of that Uranus and Pluto. It's square. It's asking us, mandating us, inviting us, commanding us, telling us we evolve, evolve, or else. So, you know, trust the process. You've done good work, and you're going to be fine. And, you know, you don't have to take their call if you don't want to. Nobody made you talk to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of an interesting week. And then the Mercury, the Sag movement and the Venus movement and the Mercury movement. Yay, yay, yay. And then there's also a new moon.
It is.
A new moon.
And that Mercury-Uranus trine on Friday is, you know, opening up all kinds of new ideas and stirring things up. We have Venus moving into a square with Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be so realistic emotionally, but that can be a very creative process. I have a feeling with first Venus squares Neptune, then she trines Uranus. So she's going to be, you know, people may fall in love just for the holiday, or they may want to fall in love and, you know, take on an elf.
And it's going to be a present under the Christmas tree for the people that want one?
It might be, but it might not be what they thought it was. It may be more the toad than the prince. So just keep your eyes open and watch for magical thinking in a good way, and then it opens up your sense of possibility, and in a bad way, and you're not really seeing the warts on the toad ahead of time. So just keep that love, but it's great to immerse in the magic of the season.
Right. And to trust the process that the magic of the season is going to call us all, you know, because it is actually. Once that Sag energy shifts, man, it just feels so much better. I just find Sag just so much. I mean, I love Scorpios, and I love my Scorpio friends most of the time. But it's going to shift. We're just going to feel like happy campers, which, you know, who can be the happy camper, you know? It's like, good. Happy, I want to be. I'm ready for a little happy camping. It's been not camping lately. It's been cold and rainy camping, right? So
It has been.
So we had an email from someone writing to us. I wanted to say the email, the new moon aspect is Chinese laundry, which I always find the Sabian image for that is kind of interesting.
Interesting. How did they mean by that?
They just said that's the image. You know, it's a Chinese laundry. So I'm always like, what does a Chinese laundry mean? So we have to kind of, I mean, this rhymes with Sabian images are a little obscure. So we're going to watch for Chinese laundries in the news. Maybe that means our washing machines are all going to break. I don't know. But it's definitely.
That means, it can also mean that we're really, it's tremendously industrious families.
Yes.
You know, one of the things about Chinese laundries was families that came here and put the whole family to work and found a niche that, you know, wasn't taken and got really good at it and so got other family members into it.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other side of that could be the process of how do we help our family? How do we help a family business? How do we help each other out?
Right.
You know, how do we look to our chosen family for support right now?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And with the, I just pulled up a Chinese laundry symbol, which is what Linda Hill says about it in her book. Chinese laundry. The Chinese laundry was once a place where a lot of work was done laboriously by hand in cramped and difficult conditions and for long hours. They did the work other people didn't want to do, indeed would often refuse to do. There was a sense of alienation which was made worse by language and cultural barriers, although the wages were low. People would work hard side by side, not asking for much but being glad of the opportunity to make an honest day's wage. for a good day's work. There was also opportunity to make a life in the New World. In those early days, and even today, there's a lot of discrimination directed towards foreign people who worked in menial occupations. However, if they withdrew their labor, whole sections of the community would fall. You may find that you or someone else are not being taken seriously or expected to perform in a stereotypical way. You may have closed your own mind to other options for employment or your life's work. The key words are restrictive expectations, relations with others because of social duty, being able to perform everyday tasks with reverence, mediocrity, or the fear of it, washing machines and dryers, money laundering, laws and legislations based on social and racial inequality. And the caution is giving in to prejudice, self-inflicted sense of inferiority that can lead to missed opportunities for relating, feeling trapped in a situation with no way out, not being taken seriously, doing menial jobs for others with little reward or real return. So it's usually big jobs usually go to men who prove their ability to outgrow small ones, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. To open a business is very easy. To keep it open is very difficult, Chinese proverb. Chink, chink, China man, wash my pants, put them in the boiler, and make them dance, Anonymous. So, and Rita Mae Brown said, I believe you are your work. Don't trade the stuff of your lifetime for nothing more than dollars. That's a rotten bargain. So for, I guess, all of us, we should be looking at that imagery or that energy. So speaking of that, we did get a letter. It's a very good segue. We got a letter from a listener on our email last week, but it was before, I don't know, I checked it after, whatever, I missed it, or it came right at the break. So the question was, the chart data is 10-13-59 in Washington, D.C. at 15.
Do we have a first name?
Joela. J-O-E-L-A-H. Joela. J-O-E-L-A-H. 10-13-59 Washington, D.C., 17:35 in the day, so that would be 5 o'clock, I guess, at night, 5:35 at night in Washington. And the question is, I've had a bad supervisor that returned. We first went head-to-head in 206. Which transit is he, and when will we part again? It couldn't be soon enough. I guess he's having the Chinese laundry transit. So, can't make this stuff up, people.
I see. Do you see that? If it was sent this week, it was probably sent during this last few weeks. Pluto has been trining her Venus and Pluto in her sixth house of work.
Yes.
So she has Saturn at the top of her chart at 1 degree of Capricorn. And it may have been that the first time it was. I don't know when the first time.
2006.
2006.
So that's 6 years ago.
That's
a Jupiter return, Jupiter opposition.
And when Pluto would have been right on her midheaven.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then now Pluto is trining her Venus and Pluto. And so there seems to be a lot about working out problems with people who abuse power.
Yes.
And I would say that maybe that's an issue from her own early life, that it wasn't always safe for her to be as sensitive as she is with that moon in Pisces.
Yes.
And that she is working on how does she step into her own power,
mm-hmm.
and how does she deal with abusive people in a really constructive way. And she may need to get some help on this one, get either job coaching or talk to the HR people at the business and say, how do I handle, you know, this man, you know, the person's being abusive, and I want to handle this constructively. And I want to get him in trouble. I want to find a good way so I'm not disempowered in the process.
Right.
And so that's what I'm seeing is a need for her to really do some way of empowering herself. And in doing so, breaking a pattern, because it feels like several women, because that Venus-Pluto conjunction is separating
mm-hmm.
in her sixth house, several women in her life that she was growing up around may have had trouble with some man around them who was misusing their power and passed on the feeling that they were stuck and there wasn't much they could do about it. And I don't think she believes this intellectually, but I think that there have been some patterns. She also has Mercury in Scorpio natally, so when she wants to tell him off, she tends to tell him off so intensely that she thinks that would get her in trouble, so she tends not to speak up. And how can she speak her truth politically, carefully, diplomatically, but not let this shit happen, so to speak.
Yep.
What are you seeing, Mark?
Yeah, I think you outlined it quite well. And she's able to handle it. She has the Sun Mars working together, which is always good. And with the North Node in Libra, she needs to put herself into the situation as a player. And she'll have a tendency to sort of want to tough it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, toughing it out is the default mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of works, and you sort of feel like it all makes sense to you. But it can be a way of avoiding just getting into a little hand-to-hand. And so, you know, roll up the sleeves and get involved.
I agree. I think that's going to be part of the process there.
And the question is, when is it over? I think a couple things. One, you don't have any planets in the first quadrant, houses 1, 2, and 3. So it makes it hard for you to say what you want. It's just how your chart's built. You got a lot of planets in 7, 8, 9, which is how other people see you. And then you got that Saturn at the tippy top of the chart, which goes bad authority figures or authority figures that you have to figure out how to work with because they don't always show up in a kind way. Now, back in 2006, when you last had this, it was Jupiter was in your, you know, in your 8th house, 9th house, so there was legal issues or there could have been problems. Now Jupiter is down there in your 3rd house, learning, asking you to learn how to communicate in a different way. And that's part of it. The other part is Saturn's on your Neptune-Mercury. This chart has a little trouble asking or speaking its truth, saying what it wants. Back to Heather's point about kind of getting sat on and then eventually you blow up and, you know, you lose it with the Mercury-Neptune or you have a cocktail and you drop a drink on their head. So your chart has to learn to talk. And that's what this transit's for, Saturn on the Mercury-Neptune. So what I would do, you already know the deal with this guy. You know what he does or the supervisor, how he works and what his issues are and who he is. So now take time, practice, get a book on communication and the difference between how men and women talk and communicate and think. And figure out that, you know, because Mercury, Jupiter in your third house wants you to get your communication skills modified. Not that you're necessarily wrong with them, but that Mercury and Scorpio joined to Neptune has a little trouble. And so as Neptune comes, Mercury in retrograde was back in here bringing this guy back again, it's like, okay, we're giving you a new chance to learn to talk. You can do it. And with the Pluto trine your Pluto and the Venus, you got a whole different head because you already went through it once with this guy. So you know what his story is. You know what he wants. You know what he likes. You know what his weaknesses are. You know how he drove you crazy. So being proactive on this one with Uranus in the first, changing it up, shaping it up, you know, kind of one day you're this, the next day you're that. I also, when you're having a Pluto transit, I always recommend to people they get the Power Book by Robert Greene. It talks about the different ways to use power. When you're having a Pluto transit, somebody's using power on you. You have to know how to arm yourself and how to work with their power dynamics and what to say or do. And it's an excellent book. It doesn't, you don't have to do the mean stuff, but do the easy exercises because it really can throw somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
And it works really well. It's one of my favorite books for it. And people just pick
That's
one or two
know.
Exercises. Huh?
It's good to know.
It's a great book. And he lays out, you know, the mean laws of power, and then he lays out this is how you deal with it when they do it with you because this is what they're trying to do to you. And then this is the solution. This is the antidote. This is how you handle this kind of situation. Some of them are really, you know, when you read it, people sometimes call me, cause especially the Pisces moon people, and they go, this is really mean, Anne. And I'm like, I know. Don't do the mean stuff. Just do the stuff you can do that you feel comfortable trying. Because people are very predictable, and they anticipate us being a certain way. And if you teach them and train them, we are all creatures of habit. We can all be trained. And you can train this guy. You're having Pluto trying your Venus-Pluto. You can totally take him on now. Last time you felt defenseless. This time you're like, I know who you are, and I'm ready to work with you. And now that Uranus is going direct, rock it. So that would be my suggestion. So So hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah, and really bring allies into the situation as well.
Right, yeah. I agree. That's
have everything out in the open. Say, okay, this is a disagreement. Here's my position, and here's his position. And
how do we find
a
good way through? If you keep it on a win-win situation,
Yeah. And the other thing with Pluto transits is opening it up. When they try and take you off in the corner, you go, no, no, I'm not going in the corner with you, and you open it up to other people. There's always someone higher or outside of the circle that can help. That's the gift with Pluto. You just have to know to ask them. And with Saturn on your midheaven, it's a little difficult sometimes for you to ask your authorities, but you can now. This is a working sextile, so it wants you to change. It wants you to shift that whole energy and come up with a new approach. You can totally do this. You just had Saturn go through your seventh house. You're rocking.
And I think that now that Pluto is 1 degree off that Venus, that she will feel, and Mercury is out of Scorpio, and as Venus heads out of Scorpio, this is going to be a lot easier. But if she wants the aspect to go away and the guy to go away, that's not going to happen. That's not where to start. She's going to figure out how does she handle it, and the situation goes away, or she changes her position to deal with them. That can happen starting right now.
Yeah, because Uranus is stationing right on your south node. Mm-hmm. So you're ready to really readjust this relationship and just say, yo. Mm-hmm. And Uranus is going to be forming a finger of God with your Mercury and your Venus over the next couple weeks, next couple months. So you're totally ready to shift this baby and change the work environment. And, you know, who knows? You may be the next Norma Rae or, you know, one of those people. So I'm like, go for it. And just understand that this is the universe trying to get you to talk. So you have to talk to prove to the universe you know how to talk. You have
no
to get
charge,
it to go.
Just direct, honest, your truth.
Yep.
And document.
Yeah, truth and document. Always document. Keep those emails off space, too.
Trust in Allah and tie up the camel.
Right. Trust in Allah and tie the camel. I always like that one, Heather. One of my faves. All right, we have 2 minutes and 37 seconds. You want to do a speed one? We got one person who's called in.
Okay, put them on.
Okay, we'll try to see if the microphone comes on. Hi, 515, you're on the air. Can we help?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Can we help?
Uh-huh. My birthday is December 13th, 1949. I was born at 3:58 a.m. in Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay, give me a first name.
Mary.
December 13th, 1959. 49, okay.
At 3:58 a.m.
3:58 a.m. in Des Moines. D-E-M-O-I-N-E-S. I-O, Iowa, there we go.
I-A.
In Polk. Yeah, you know, it gave me all the different Des Moines. You're in Polk County, right?
Yes.
Born in Polk County. There you go. And my computer's smarter than I am. It's always
good
to know.
And what's your question? I would just like to know, my birthday is Thursday, and I just want to know what this new moon means for me.
Nice. New money. New direction.
New money?
New finance. Uh-huh.
Good. Great.
New money. Are you living in Des Moines still?
I am. Does it look like I might move from Des Moines?
You could. Not huge aspects for moving.
But, you know, and you have Venus on your IC there. They love you there. It's a neighborhood that, you know, there's some really good aspects there. There's some power issues around you. Got Pluto at the top of the chart. But you are loved and you're well met there.
Do you see marriage?
You may find that. What? And
do you see marriage?
You see marriage.
Not this year. No. This year is a big year for you getting out in the world and meeting somebody. You got Juno in the seventh by solar return. So that can definitely be a relationship, but I don't know that marriage is this year.
And I see your progressed moon. You've got about, it looks like in about 8 months, 6-9 months, your progressed moon will be conjunct in your Venus, and it will be for the next that fall, so it's 9 months from now, the next few months after that, is a really good time to bring people into your life and into your heart.
Yeah.
So get involved, get in groups, get in connection. You do well around finance.
Mm-hmm.
love yourself more and other people will see the beauty in you.
Yep, very cool.
Okay.
And it also, with
okay.
Saturn in the first, you're putting down roots for the next 30 years. Think back to 1983 and 84 and what you were doing then. Okay, the British lady is speaking and saying we're done. So Ann
Thank
Ortley
you.
Signing off. You're welcome. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Ann Ortley signing off here in New York, and I'm signed off with...
Heather Rowan Robbins in Minnesota, and...
And Mark Waltz in New York.
So, great. Well, I'll talk to you next week, and feel free to email us questions or call in. Take care. Have a great week, folks. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.